quickly the days that our number pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draws nigh. So heedless of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy they're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. While they warn off the dangers that'll lie in their path, but they heed not his mercy, they kindle God's wrath. Pleasures of this world is their only care, for where you have pleasure, their heart will be there. Men are so busy
with worldly achievements,
the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world, so what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world, so what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and great heat will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity on those who so carelessly forgotten their God. On those who so carelessly forgotten their God. You look around, you see what's happening. Well, you can't change it because we've arrived at actually harvest time. That's what you see in the world about us, and people have sowed, and now they're reaping exactly what Jesus said. Let them both grow until the end, and it'll determine what people have done all their lives. There's nothing you can do to change it. That's why it says, work while it is yet day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. And that's what we've done in the last 40 years. The reason we are where we're at, because we've sowed, we've done something with our lives. Mm-hmm. And every generation has somebody like you and I that's come up society. Every generation has one of them. The Lord just sets it up. The rich man had somebody on his doorstep. It's come a society, and you and I, we've just, that's just the way it is. That's just the Lord has drawn us out to be doing what we're doing. We did choose that, believe you me. That is just something that the Lord moved in our hearts way back to search the scriptures, to use the scriptures for our guide. And we just happen to be one of those, two of these people that the Lord has honed out to be persecuted, just that simple. I've been looking at that song here because we went to that funeral the other day, and I saw something that I've never seen before, such a clarity right in my face. I saw harvest time. Everything is coming to fruition. My uncle went to my cousin's funeral, and my Uncle Sam. Back in the day, I grew up with him. He grew up at the same colony. The whole family grew up exactly where I was. And my Uncle Sam, back in the day, he come across this one religion, this Armstrong religion. And for a lot of people, it looked like the way to go, the thing to be, and a place to be. And but now we saw the results. It's just completely empty, just a delusion. It just shocked me when he come face to face with it. All his life, what a waste of life. He's the only uncle I have on my dad's side of the family. And the potential that man had, and what did he do? He just throws it away and runs after something that's not real, that Armstrong feed. That no hell, there's no hell, and oh man. And we saw the fruits of it the other day when we went into that funeral. It's completely, I didn't even want to go. My spirit was very depressed being there. My brain couldn't even think straight. And because he come face to face with reality. That's the fruit of his doing, the decision he made somewhere along the road alive. And then we're seeing his boys and his family, and there's absolutely nobody that you could really talk to from the page we're on. But that's just dawned on me, you know. I learned something in there through that whole episode. I saw that preacher from Riverside. I grew up with him and that Mick. And afterward, everything dawned on me. The choices they made, it was right there in front of my very face. Nothing there spiritually speaking. Yeah, religiously some of them had it. That's the problem. We couldn't talk to anybody because of the different religions. There's a mixed bag there. All kinds of different delusions. That old W. Armstrong group were there, and then that new Armstrong movement was there, and then the Hutterites were there, and all different spirits, different opinions. And it kind of left me very confused, and I was glad it was over. As I was thinking throughout the week, that's the fruit of their doing. It's harvest time. You can't change. You can't change harvest time. It depends what you sowed, you know.
Yeah.
You went after the wrong thing.
World without Jesus, you know, that's what you saw. Sad.
And like I say, there's some of us, we just have to. We made decisions along the road alive according to the scriptures. I made my decision. The Bible says you have to be careful what you want in life, because we talk about that woman with the two sons. She, her desire and her passion was for one of her sons to be the number one and the other guy the number two, and that's rampant in the calling. It's all just a power struggle. This world is not our home. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, and you got to get it into your DNA. We have nothing here in this world to build a kingdom on, because our kingdom is over on the other side, and we have to allow the Lord Jesus to give us that kingdom that my Father gave me, my kingdom. That's how I'm going to give you your kingdom. And like that woman at the well, that woman with the two sons, her ambition was for her son to be number one, number two. That's something that every woman has. They want their son and their family members to be a preacher, the calling. We're talking about the calling now. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. When you have that for your desire, your passion, for your children, you really do not know what you're asking, because you're asking for something that the kingdom is not of this world. That other thing is just the kingdom. And we're just trying to bring out what's happening around us. We get very depressed when we just look at the world scene and the power struggles and the wars and rumors of war. But you got to go to the scriptures. And I got this song here. We used to sing it back in the colony. But it really spoke to me. I read it over here yesterday. And it really spoke to me. It's exactly the where you and I are at, you know. We're just one of those two people that just a scum of society. We were in there at that funeral. There's nobody there that we were on the same page with. There's nobody we could talk to there in that high society group. And we just we didn't want no part of that high society group. It's just the way it is. It says, the Alma's breeder line might be different. Alma's breeder line clog makes air. Vos ali making venom. Das man so many creamy kite mare. Albert and yet stood feenin. I got the fendi miner's glory. I'll hear of these earning. Then he expating abandoning. Mine heart's in grossness drowning. Uncanny freely learning. That lost and ailing guns and meaning in Ireland, London, that so shama ein character, ein Schauspiel auch mit Schanden, bei aller Welt bin ich verarmt, weib Kinders gesinnen, Freunden. Mein Haus genoss, rief mir geschah, ich armer Mann und hinten stand, verlassen von meinen Bekannten. Man jagt mich her, muss all mein Keller schliefen. Verbirg mich hier, in Bergliffgrube tiefen, bei wilden Tieren in den Wald, kann mir kein Platz gedeihen. Man sucht so lang mit Spieß und Stang, mit Hunden Nass, stell an mir Nass, weiß ich mit der Schleien. Mein beste Freund, mein größte Feind, die liebst in meiner Schoße, allweg sind mir durch sie verzeiht. In Regen, Wind und Blöße, entstand in Strahlen wie ein Mal, muss ich mich schliefen duken. Ganz still schweig ich, kein Wort nicht sprich, finden sie mich, das Schlag, das sie, muss bieten, Herr, mein Rieken. Das wär mir ganz ring und leid, mein höchste Freude auf Herren, das mir von wegen Fremdigkeit leid, und um der Wahrheit verhärte, allein das mein Gott wirklich an, geschmeckeles Schwinde, das klage Gott, mein größte Not, ist das allein, Gott wiegt man klein, o du gottlos Gesinde, ave, ave, in immer weh, denn die Wohnen auf der Herren, kein Treu, kein Lieb, kein Glauben mehr, kein Frommen fehlt man mehr, der Best ist weh, ein Dornenscharf, in aller Welt gemeine. Darum will ich nur zählen mich Zum Frommen noch ich sie bin, weit Kind lass ich alleine. Mein Frommen ist mein Freud und Lust, die Gott fürchten und lieben. Weit Kind hast du in Berliner Wust, dein Teil am Mitten lieben. Fahrhin, fahrhin, Berliner Brand, du und Flock geh dein Straßen, ich seh davon zum frommen Mann, dein Teil wird gleich ins Feuer getan, mach den Schlemmen und Brassen. Mein Gott, sei du mein Trost, das bitte ich dich von Herzen. Die Gottlos Rat, lass mir kein Rat, wenn du mir meine Schmerzen, du sprichst zu mir, ich bin bei dir, Alltag bis an das Ende. Dein Herz in Zelt nicht weißlos sein, gelassen sein, o Herre mein, das freut mich in mein Herzen, der uns das Lied neu gesungen hat, der hat zum Teil erfahren, bei dem er verlauen hat, wer er geschickt erfroren. Man geht in Norden, Kuhstab nicht, da er möcht Herberg haben. Nur aus, bleib nicht im Haus, im Regen, Wind und Fenster blind. Davon so muss er träumen, das denkt der Gott in Himmelsthron,
sagt in Hochlob und Preise,
gib dem zu dulden Schmach und Schand, durch die enge Pforte reise, der schmale Weg und enge Steg, Verfolgung kreuzt der Zahle, reit jetzt und recht den Pilgrimsknecht, er gibt das Erd, das würdig Welt, Lob Gott, ihr Heiligen, alle. Yeah, back at that time, that's what this pilgrim had to go through, just the same as we had. We had in our life, throughout our journey, 30 years ago, we went through the same thing. I just kicked from pillar to post, put in exile, simply because we told people the truth, you know. These people back there, they stood up for truth. That's all we're doing. We're just standing up for truth, and then if you do that, that's what's going to be your lot in life. If you're willing to stand for truth, put your life on the line for the sake of truth, and that's the only thing they found on us. We just stood up for truth. We saw what's going on, and we just stepped up to the plate, and the Lord moving on us, and we're going to be identified with this pilgrim here, because we're going through the same thing. And it really hit me when I began to see, when we went to that funeral the other day, it was right in front of my very face. Like I say, my Uncle Sam, and now his whole life became to fruition. And I was in contact with him over the years, and I tried to direct him to the real thing. And even his boys tried to send them messages from time to time, and then they throw the books in the garbage, and then they put me off the, they blocked me they blocked my phone number, so I can't send them nothing anymore. And just you know, you could get worked up, but that just, you're going to get worked up over you put a barley crop and you're going to get worked up over the barley that's growing out there now? That's what they sowed. That's what we sowed in our life, and that's what they sowed in our life. And what shocked me, what it was right, the reality of it just hit me. It's harvest time. That's that all that has to come to fruition. What people have done in their lives. I just thank the Lord. When he saved me, he kind of let me know, Sam, I can only reward you for what you have allowed me to do through you. So I didn't have no ambition on my own. A lot of people, they have an ambition. They have a dream like this woman with the two sons. Her ambition was to have their number one and number two in today's language and other language to be preaching boss. That's what a lot of women have for their sons. That's a lot of, but that's an ambition that's carnal. It's not. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. And besides that, it's not for me to give. Because they were only thinking of an earthly kingdom. And that's what these people that we saw the other day, they're only concerned about an earthly king. We did not fit in on their program because they're of a high society group. They look down on us. And even the people that these other that Eli, that preacher, I grew up with him. I know exactly what I'm talking about. He decided he wanted someday, he was a very competitive back in the day, like, you know how it is growing up in a colony. You play checkers and you play all kinds of things. You play hockey, but he was always very competitive. He always wanted to be the number one guy. He wanted to be the one that always that beat the checker. He was very competitive. And he gave me a run for my money when we were playing checkers. He always had, he beat me quite a few times. But see, it was all about competitive. His whole life is all just competitive. And I seen it the other day. I didn't even recognize these from when I grew up with. I didn't even know he was. He had to introduce himself. And it took me a while to register that's the same guy that I grew up with when we were playing checkers with back then, because I haven't seen him for years. So, but what shocked me, but all of a sudden it really hit me throughout the weekend. Here is the fruit of the thing. Here is the result of what these people have sown. You will reap what you sow. And my uncle, that's what he sowed, and that's, we saw the fruit of his doing. There are people, his children there, absolutely no. Nothing about Jesus, nothing about Christianity, nothing about the church, the page that you and I, we talked to them, but they seem appeared friendly and all that. But spiritually speaking, you have nothing to talk about with these people. The minute you start talking, they're like a slippery fish. They have a way of eluding the things that really matter. And just the way it is. We just happen to run into it. It really hit me, like I said, during the weekend, this song came to me. There's people that have gone through in history exactly what you and I have gone through. It says it here, kicked out from your own house simply because you tell them the truth. And we're not complaining. The Lord was there for us all the time because it is, the Bible says, don't think it's strange when these fiery darts come against you. Because that's all part of the program. We've accepted that, and we're just grateful that the Lord found you and I worthy to do what we're doing, to suffer for his sake and for the sake of the truth. They have nothing on me. The only thing I did was tell them the truth, and I'm not complaining. It's just the nature of the beast. That's just what you and I have decided. Back in the day, you decided you don't want to go down that marriage path. You decided you want to see what Jesus has for you. And I decided I begin to step up to the plate, and I could not go along with their corruption. That's why we are where we are today. And the Lord saw fit that he would give us this mandate to put out this here in time truth for a lost and dying world. And that the decision that you and I made, we did not want nothing to do with that Hunterite thing because we saw how corrupted it. I did not want no part of that preacher business because, maybe before the Lord saved me, you had you had a vision to someday be a preacher, because that's all that system can produce. If anybody is competitive, like that Eli, very competitive. And of course, what he did back in the day when we were younger, we would play checkers, and then the competitive always comes out. Very, very competitive. And then you grow up, and then when you think about some, if you're very competitive, you want to someday be that preacher job. And that's what he became, because he was competitive. He wanted that preacher job. And now that he got that preacher job, once he got that preacher job, it doesn't stop there. You want something more. You want to become a bishop. You want to be the leader. You want to be like that Leonard from Dalton. These people have carnal ambitions that they don't know that our kingdom is not of this world. And I saw, I've been knowing that all along. But when you're right in it, when it's right in front of your face, and reality sets in, and you see it, right, the decisions that they made, the decision that Eli made. He wanted to be preacher, and then he was always very competitive. And now he's got that whole Riverside under his lock and key. He's the king there. He's the king of Riverside Colony. And I saw him. He's very content now, especially now that his son is preacher. He's got the whole thing under his arms, under his wrap. I looked at his wife. His wife, she's so content. That's all these people ever wanted. And like I say, you got to be careful what you want in life, because the Lord might grant it to you, but it'll lead you out to destruction. There's no future in the kingdoms of this world. It's only got a few more years left where the kingdoms of this world will be demolished. It's all part of that Babylon system, and we don't want no part of it. We gladly give it up. Yeah, back in the day, it took a lot of heartache and a lot of... we struggled for a long time until we found exactly what's going on.
That's
like
right.
You were saying the other day, you were here in town all by yourself. You had nobody. And it's the same thing today. We have nobody on here, on that, all these people that run there. There's nobody there that we could talk to.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a matter of fact.
Yeah, okay. What is there in life without being able to fellowship around Jesus, you know? It's a pretty sad world and pretty sad life. Yeah, I woke up yesterday and I thought, you have so little in common with this generation of people out there. Just like Noah had very little in common with that generation back there. And if we would not have the scripture, we would be very discouraged, you know. But we have the scripture, and we know that Jesus likened our day to the days of Noah and to the days of Lot. Like, and that was like 10, 12 years ago when I was here all by myself. Like, I could not identify with any of these churches out there. And then these truthers, all these ideas that came out after Brother Jackson left the scene, like, and we had to separate ourselves from all that false teaching. And I was basically here by myself. I didn't have anybody. And how much more now, you know, things don't get better. The Bible says they will wax worse and worse. And that's what you see. And that's what we saw at that funeral. And it's like everything comes to fruition. Like what people have sown, the seeds that they have sown is what they're going to reap. And that's, if you reap to these things that you have accomplished in this life, you know, you're going to, that's what you're going to get. Like that song said, men are so busy with worldly achievements. The mercies of Jesus, they daily downtrod. God in heaven must look down in pity on those who so foolishly have forgotten their God. And that's what happened to people in this generation. They have forgotten their God. And that's why we hold on to the things that we have been taught in this Laodicea church hour. That God sent a prophet, because that's the very essence of life for our day and hour, that God sent a prophet. If you don't have that to hold on to, that whole charismatic world out there, that gray horse rider, that lukewarm Laodicea church, is just going to sweep you right down to hell and death. That's where it's going to take you to, and that's just that simple.
just shocking that when, yeah, you know it, but when you're right face to face with it, my uncle, I've always had questions. I never fell for his garbage. I'm not trying to tell him about Jesus and things like that. I think he found Jesus towards the end of his life because he found the church split. But the thing of it is, the damage he's done. They don't believe in the hell to this day because they take him to the incinerator, what they call it, to the cremate themselves when they die. They get cremated and they figure that's the end of it. That they don't. It's just their body that's cremated. Their soul and their spirit does not get cremated. That soul keeps on living. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, that soul will go to a place called hell. Just that simple. The soul and the spirit goes to a place called hell, and the body, you can cremate it, or you can drown it, or you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't really matter. The body is just a shell. And then they cremate it. Then they figure they cremated the soul and the spirit too, but you can't kill the spirit. The only thing that still kills the spirit is exactly what Jesus said, fear not them that kill the body, but fear them that kill that is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Because after the 1,000 years reign, we said it the other day, after the 1,000 year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the books were opened, the wicked dead, they get resurrected, and then hell and death. Hell is in the center of the, but then hell and death will get thrown into that lake of fire, and in that lake of fire, they get consumed. They get destroyed. They burn. I don't know how many ages, how long a punishment will be, but we're just setting the record straight here because we know what's coming. We use the Bible as our guide, and to this day, we can tell you exactly what the program is. Just a few years up the road, say that there will be no more because his time has run out. Exactly what the Bible says. Satan is coming down having great wrath because his time is short and he knows it. That's why he's putting out all his weaponry of mad deception. And we're just doing everything we know to do to hold on to the fort, to keep our spiritual sanity. So when you have something to tell to a lost and dying world, if it wasn't for you and I, there will be no sign and no mention of Brother Branham or Brother Jacobs anymore, because every one of them, the Branhamites, they kind of idolize the prophet Brother Branham, and the Jacksonites, they see how much they can do to destroy the ministry of Brother Jackson. The only two people, that's you and me, we're holding on to the fort and we're telling it to a lost and dying world. At the end of the day, there'll be people that have a hunger and a thirst for reality, and that's all we do. We're doing everything we know to do to keep this thing alive. And we just happen to be two people, just like that man and that song here, that pilgrim and that song here. What he had to go through the very same thing, exiled from his wife, his children, they won't let him visit his wife and his children. That very Eli, that guy that we seen there at that funeral. Oh, he comes along real nice, but he's the one that kept me away from my family. I went to the sergeant. I went to the sergeant in town. He came down trying to make some kind of a deal. All I asked for 2 days out of the week so I could visit my family, and that they denied that. That Mike from Summerfeld and that Blumengard Jake, I just begged and pleaded with him, just give me the rights for 2 days out of the week to spend time with my family. They wouldn't even grant me that. Oh, just like that song says, Al Weg sind sie durch mir verzeihen. They locked me out. Like a fence, you know. You're on the outside. They won't even let you go in there to see your family. And of course, unless you go and worship them and bow down to them and ask for permission and beg, that's what they want you to do. That's what that whole system is structured up. You got to go worship the Pope. That's basically the bottom line of it. And then, you know the story. But see, we went exactly through when I seen that song here during the weekend. The Lord reminded me of that song. I went to read it, and exactly what you and I have gone through in the past 30, 40 years. That very thing, put the next hour, simply because you wanted to do what the Lord has for you, and I wanted to guide you. Just pray to my Lord, Lord, use me for your glory. Do with me as you see fit. Allow me to be faithful and true what you've called me to do. That's the only crime you and I really committed. Of course, along the road, you got bumps and this way and that way, but that's your main trust. That's the main ambition that you have in life, is to want to see what Jesus had for you. And the main ambition for me is to be faithful to what God has called us to be and do. That's what I ask for my children. I didn't want my children to ever be a preacher in that cult, because I saw what it pertains to. All I wanted, all I prayed for my children, Lord, let them find their place in Christ. That's the only place where you find satisfaction, if you find your place in Christ. And believe you me, when you want that, this world has no room for you. They'll do exactly what they did with this pilgrim here in this song. They kicked them out, and he couldn't even stay in the cow barn. He couldn't even stay nowhere he could stay. That they got the dogs after him to hound him down, and oh, it was pretty bad back in the day. Well, today it's not that bad, but it's the same principle. It's the same demon. It's the same devil. He does not want anybody to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does everything he can to see if he can deceive you and send you out to hell and that and make you accept their deceptive ways. That hunter, I think, is just a delusion. It's just a deceptive way. We saw the results of it. I saw the people that I grew up with that making that, and I asked them, what's with your brother Joe? He used to be fireball. How come he's not fireballs anymore? And I was shocked when he told me. I didn't know. He hasn't moved. He just sits at home, almost like his mind is going. And I thought about that, and I couldn't believe it. Like, doesn't even go and visit them. His truck has been parked for a whole week, and he's just sitting at home. And yeah, I used to work with him. We used to be electrician with him, and he knows me. I know him, and I was shocked when I saw he's not fireballs anymore over there. And then I flat out asked him, and he came out and told me he doesn't know what's wrong with him. He just sits at home. I think his mind is going. And see, when I went back, when the reason is being what affected me so much, that whole episode in there, I found out a lot of things. I learned a lot of things. When we went to that funeral, there's a lot of things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that his brother is just losing it, you know. And he's not that old. He's still young in the prime of life when people are up and about. And here, he said his truck had been sitting for a whole week without moving. So that means he's just sitting at home, probably like a vegetable. And I remember back in the day, like when these preachers came in to terminate me simply because I told them the truth. See, their dad, that old Dave, he knew exactly what I was about because I worked with these people, and they knew what I'm about. They knew I didn't do nothing to deserve to be terminated for no reason at all. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew who I was. They knew what I'm about. But see, it's like, let's get rid of this guy. Just like, reminded me of Joseph's brother when they wanted to get rid of him. They just threw him in the bed, and there was nobody there that came to his support. Yeah, I think Reuben came a little bit. He didn't want to kill him, so they sold him to the Midianites. But all in all, they were all in on it. And the same thing here with that Riverside clique. They were all in on it to sign me out of there. And I'm not complaining. It's just to expose what they're about and what you and I are about. They all signed me out of there for no reason at all. And there's nothing I could do to fight it because my dad wasn't going to touch it because he was afraid he's going to show partiality and try to help me. So he couldn't help me. But see, that Dave, he knew exactly. Here was his opportunity to step up and back up my dad, just like he did when that Dave guy, he went through the same thing I went through with, like he went through the same thing with that JK guy. When all he did, he said, J.K. should not, that court case was on. I hope he does not win that court case. That's all he said. And for that J.K. guy, that bishop, that pope, put him into Umfried, where he actually lost his job and all that stuff. you know, the whole smear. And he went through exactly, practically what I went through, and he and then my case came up, and he could have stepped up to the plate and helped my dad fight this thing through, tell these preachers to go fly a kite. Sam didn't do nothing wrong, but see, it was his opportunity to step up to the plate and support me, but none of them did. And then when he came out, when my father-in-law came down and got them all to sign a document to sign me out of there, they're all in on it. Now see, the fruit is in the fruit is beginning to show, just like everything else. Like, that's why it says it shocked me when reality hit there. See, there was nothing that I could do about it. The only thing I could do, say, Lord, you look after the situation. You said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I couldn't even as much as fight back when they took my family away from me. There's nothing I could do. I could only say, Lord, you said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You just leave it with the Lord. And there I saw it, that old Dave that should have stepped up to the plate and supported my dad when they did that. But what did he do? Well, it was jealousy and revenge, and we got to get rid of this guy. And oh man, but see, the Lord remembers all that. And they all signed me out of there. Like I say, I'm not complaining, but like, when it shocked me how true the Bible is. And then his son, I will seek vengeance on the children, two and three and four generations down the road. And I seen it. His son, he's at home now. I think he got Alzheimer's or something. He can't think straight anymore. So he resigned from his fireball job. And that whole thing is a mess, simply because there came a day when they all signed me out of there just for standing for truth. They all knew I was innocent, but here they took it upon themselves. Here's our chance to get rid of this animal, and that's what they did. There's going to be judgment coming on. Mm-hmm.
That's shocking that all of them would do that. You know that none of them had the decency or the fear of God, that they would not question these things. That is very sad.
Yeah, well,
how can that bring good fruit? It's not going to bring good fruit for their generations.
Yeah, then you see that Eli, he's so convinced he's got it all now. You know, he's got it all under it. And I looked at his wife, she's so content, and especially now that their son is a preacher too. It's all lost cause.
You know, he has a very bad disposition. When you look at his expression, he kind of reminds me of that Joel Osteen guy.
Yeah.
When he, I think that Joel Osteen, he's deliberately deceiving people, because when you watch his eyes, they blink 100 miles a minute. That is, to me, knowing that they're lying and deceiving people. And he reminds me of having the same expression. He'll never stop and look you directly in the eye, and you know, for a long period of time. He will always evade that, and that to me is a sign of a person not being genuine.
Mm-hmm. But that, just like I say, they just hit me like a ton of bricks. Reality is here. Harvest time is here. The real harvest time, the real grain is harvest time is coming. And spiritually speaking, that's harvest time. Jesus said, let them both grow at the end. I'll send forth the reapers, and they're going to separate the chaff from the wheat. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. There was absolutely nobody that we could talk to. It was just that I could have a little bit of conversation. But at the end of it all, you really cannot. You're not on the same page with none of them. And all these people in there, there's nobody that we could identify with. And I was actually glad to leave that place, because it just hits you like a ton of bricks. You know all along what you're about. But when you're right in there with them face to face, and you see what has become of people that have absolutely made the wrong choices in life, and like that Eli. He had the wrong ambition. He wanted to be a preacher. Well, have at her. Just enjoy yourself. But it's only a temporary thing. And at the end of it all, they get nothing for eternity. It's all just a materialistic, diabolical system. That outright thing is just a delusion. Mm-hmm. Just like Everything else that the devil does, it's all just a delusion. Just like that Armstrong thing, it's just the devil. Then this guy had a lot of charisma, mm-hmm. and he got thousands of people from around the world believing his garbage. There's no hell, and then they got scriptures to prove it. Like I say, when it hits reality, hits you, and you see it right there in front of your face, and you see the people that you grew up with, and the decisions that they made, and now it runs to fruition. He can have that Riverside call. He's king in that Riverside call, and if he does not accept his ear truth, he'll be just 2-3 years from now, he'll be one of those kings that'll say what the Bible says. They'll say to the rocks, fall off. They made the wrong decisions in life, and then God's going to come and shut it down, and they'll say to the rocks, fall on us into the mountains, cover us from him that's coming back. Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. And all these people that have made the wrong decisions in life, that have built themselves a kingdom here on this earth, they are going to just simply go by the wayside, and they'll end up going out to hell and that. Then their reward, they won't have nothing. If they will not accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they have already forfeited their everything that God had for them, and they sold out to materialism, and they sold out to a kingdom here on this earth. It's just that simple. But here, Babylon is coming down. Babylon is falling. That whole religious infrastructure, everything that's of the devil, that Hutterite thing is of the devil, and it's just going to go down the tube, and the people that are supporting it and a part of it, they're going to go down there with it. There's nothing you can I can do to prevent it. There's nothing that you and I can do to make it happen. Like I say, it just floored me when I seen all these people that we had nothing to identify with. We were a stranger amongst them people. Nobody we could talk to, and nobody could identify with, because you and I, we made our choices back in life, back 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's what we want. We want to stand for truth. And no matter what it cost us, and we were willing to put our life on the line, and now you see the results here. We're here. We actually got it made in that degree, but like I say, when it comes right on your feet, the people you grew up and you see the choices they make, there was absolutely nothing spiritually about my cousin there that passed away. All he was talking about, how he loved his beer and his good times, and why not? If his dad convinced him there's no hell and things like that, then you just live for the flesh. You'll just eat and drink with the drunkards. You'll just do whatever you did, and because there's no consequences mm-hmm. of your lifestyle. That's exactly what we saw right mm-hmm. in front of our face.
That's right. It says in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. And that's the long and the short of it, you know. When you don't have anything in common, it's really because you're not of this world. So the world hates because you're not of their kind. And there's this animosity there. It doesn't need to be spoken. You just feel alienated from these people, you know. You don't feel like you belong. It's because they've went the way of the world. And they're part of the world, and then the world hates whatever is not part of them. They hate it just like they hated Jesus. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Like I was out in the garden, and that scripture came to me. If you would be of the world would love you. But because you're not, they hate you.
Oh, it's very, very simple, but like I say, when reality hits and it kind of breaks you up, that the very people that you grew up with that made the wrong decisions in life, like I was telling you about that old boss from Riverside, he ended up dying with cancer, and now God only knows what's wrong with that Joe. And see, and then you see it, the very people that you grew up with, they made decisions in life, and he could have come to my dad's defense, that old Dave, because he went through the same thing I went through at the clutches of that Pope down in and Crystal Spring. And he knew what it's a, what it was like. I knew he was innocent. And my dad, you know, when you go through that Umphrey thing, you lose your job. Well, my dad made sure he's going to come back on the job again. And he just told the people and put it back on. And he kept to his rescue. You know, he could have kicked them out. It would have been anything if he had any revenge against them or anything. But he kept to his rescue. Put him back on the job again. And he could have done the same thing here. But see, let's get rid of this guy. And we've been wanting to get rid of him for a long time. It's just more or less driven by jealousy. Mm-hmm. And like it says, Doc, come to that. Let's get rid of him. Here come the inheritors. Let's get rid of him. And it's just the way the people are. Just like Joseph's brother. And back in the day when they want to get rid of Joseph. Just built with hate and jealousy towards their brother. And here's the same thing. But like I say, it shocked me how real it is. Because the only weapon I had was just, Lord, you take care of these things. He said, Vincent, my, I will repay. And now you can see how the Lord is beginning to repay. A young man losing his, has to resign from his job because he can't function anymore. You know, that's just God's curse on them. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. It's just vengeance on that Dave outfit, on that old Riverside Colony outfit, because they all know I was innocent. But they figured, well, we'll get rid of him. We want to get rid of him for a long time anyway already. So, but see, they didn't have nothing on me. I told that Pope from Bloomingard, I said, you got nothing on me. You're doing exactly what they did back in the days of Jesus. And you're just hiring the Roman army to get rid of Jesus. You're doing the very same thing. You're just hiring the sheriff. He told me, if I'm not out of here before sundown, the sheriff will come and keep me out of here. Well, see, you're doing exactly the same thing that they did back to Jesus. It's the same system. It's a diabolical, satanic system. And anybody that supports it, they're all part of it. And the judgment day is coming. And it's just right here, right in front of our face. It's harvest time. That's mm-hmm. basically what it is. But I learned a lot when I went to that funeral in there. I didn't know that it was so real. But see, reality sits in. I saw the people I grew up with, and I saw the decisions that they make, and they're going, there's nothing that you and I have in common with these people, because we decided back in the day, we want to follow truth. We want to follow the Lord. And that's what we've been on for the last 17 years. And this, what we're saying, it's going to go down, it's going all the way around the world. There's people out there that hear it every day, and I don't know who they are, but I know that the Lord put this program out, told me put it on the website, start this website, put it out there. You don't even have to advertise. If there's somebody with a hunger and a thirst for reality that's going to be on the same page with us, well, we'll spend eternity with them. Just that simple. There's only one thing left is Matthew 22. You can go and read it yourself, and you can go also read what's going to happen for those people that reject this invitation to the marriage supper of Christ. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just putting it out there, holding on to the fort, and I know that God gave you and I the commission and the mandate to do this very thing that you and I are doing here. If people want to come on board, that's fine. We won't even lose sleep over it. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are. But he said he's going to send a hunger and a thirst into the land for the things, the true and living word of God. And this is the only place you will find. Once that rapture happens, once that marriage supper of the Lamb is executed and gone, believe you me, the whole world is going to be taken over by Satan, and it's a time you do not want to be around. It's just after that, judgment comes in, and the day of the Lord comes in, and all these things that have been prophesied is going to happen. We just happen to be living here, and the last few years of the closing day of the time, Satan's days are numbered, and he knows it, and he's coming down having great wrath. And what does he do with his wrath? He uses to deceive the masses, to take them out to hell and death. We cannot talk to nobody about the truth of the day. They hear us, and then they clip in for a while, and then they go back to the cesspools of religion again. There's just not something in them that has a staying power, that they actually believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is true. The Bible is true. Like I say, go read Matthew 22. And it's over in Luke somewhere too. You can You use those two occasions where Jesus told us exactly what's going to happen here in these closing days of time. All we're doing, we're just putting it out there, and we know that we're right, and that's why the Lord be dealing with me over the week about that song. I can identify with exactly just about word for word what he's saying. And then I say, every generation has one of these pilgrims. God, make sure nobody will have an excuse. There's a lot of people that kicked that guy out back then, and they're going to suffer the consequences. But as long as he just, at the end of the day, he thanked the Lord that he was found worthy to be persecuted for his sake and for the gospel. That's all we do. We're just grateful to the Lord that he found us worthy to be persecuted and for them to do whatever we're doing. And that's just a matter of fact. Just that simple.
Tonight, Heavenly Father, we're just going to come before you and we just want to lay it out for people to understand what a person will sow, that is what they're going to reap, Lord. If they're going to reap spiritual things, they're going to sow, reap that. And it's the same way with, if people are not sowing what is right, they're going to reap the wrong thing, Lord. It's just that simple. So we just want to lay it out to people, Lord, that they need to walk wisely, Lord. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.